And, you know, it was Charles Haddon's Spurgeon. He got saved night like this. He had a lot less folks here than he had a lot less folks in church where he was when he got saved than we have here tonight. So it's great to have you here this evening. And I'm really glad for that. All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans. The book of Romans tonight in your Bible. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11. Romans 13 verse 11. And that knowing the time, that is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for every opportunity to open the Bible. And thank you for the privilege we have to be in your house with your people. I pray, dear Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just move and have your way in every heart, every life. Lord, I pray you'll just fill us tonight and do something special, Lord. It'd be great to see that, and we just trust you for it, and we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Something happened to a farmer's old clock, and instead of striking 12, it continued striking 13, 14, 15. He sat up in his bed and he began shaking his wife and saying, "Wake up, honey, wake up. It's later than it ever has been." Well, you know something, I really believe that it is later than it ever has been. It's time to wake up spiritually. Are you awake? It's time to wake up spiritually, beginning of a new year. It's time to take inventory. Look in your life. See, are you awake spiritually? God says, wake up. That's what he says here in this passage of scripture. And he says it's high time to wake up. You know, it's high time to get up out of our sleep and to stir ourselves, throw off the spiritual slumber that has come into our life. It's time to wake up. I want you to see tonight, are you awake spiritually? As we launch out of this year, 2011, what's it hold? I don't know. Boy, I tell you what, it's kind of scary, isn't it? I'm so glad the Lord's in control. Amen. What's it hold? We don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. It could hold the coming of the Lord. That would be a blessing. And, that would be great. I'd just love to see that happen. And, we don't know what it holds. But I want you to know that, God says here that, we need to be waking up, as we, look at this new year. We need to take a little inventory. You know, every year companies take inventories. They start a new year. They check into things and they see, how things are going. And so they do a little bit of inventory. I want you to do some inventory tonight. I want you to see, are you awake spiritually as we begin the new year? Have you come into the new year awake? Or have you come in spiritually slumbering? Now, I believe that to decide that, to discern that in our life, we find here three things we need to take a look at. First of all, we need to look at our watch. Look at our watch. Now, I'm not talking about this one right here, okay? Nah, that's not the watch I want you to look at, amen? It's a different watch here. And that is the watch concerning the coming of the Lord. Say, look at your watch. Are you watching for him? You know, if you really are awake spiritually tonight, you are alarmed at how close the coming of the Lord must be. I mean, you are just alarmed. Oh, you look out of this world and you are alarmed as you study scripture, as you look in the Bible and you see how things are setting up, for the tribulation period. You are alarmed at the nearness of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Romans chapter 13 verse 11, that is the emphasis here. That's the emphasis here. He says, now is the time to wake up spiritually. It's high time. Why? Because of the nearness of the coming of the Lord. He says there in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11, that knowing the time is now high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now, why is it so near? Well, it's near because we look at the signs of tribulation all over. We look at the fact that it's near because it's an imminent event. It can happen any moment. We don't have the other signs of the tribulation, you know? But the very fact that we have all these signs of the tribulations nearing, you know, we might preach a little bit about those signs later on week, you know? But the very fact that we have those things ought to cause us to realize how near the coming of the Lord really is. Now, there are two kinds of people who need to wake up in the light of the nearness of the coming of the Lord. Two kinds of people. First of all, there are people who are not alive spiritually who need to wake up. Sorry. In Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 14, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. See, the Bible says here that when you're not saved, you are dead. You are awake, not awake. You are asleep, and you're not awake to spiritual things. You're sleeping the spiritual death of sleep. Say that's the sleep there, spiritual death. And if you're not saved, you know, and you're here tonight, you know, we want to see you get saved. See? We'd like to see you come to Christ and receive the Lord as your Savior. So you can wake up spiritually. See? So you can be awake. You know, because if you're not awake spiritually and Jesus comes, you're not going to hear anything. You're not going to hear that shout. See, Jesus is going to come with a shout, and only those who are awake spiritually, only those who have become alive and have waked out of the dead, spiritual death that they were born in, you know, are going to hear that shout to go to be the Lord, say. So you need to wake up and get saved so that you can hear that shout so you'll be alive. You know, I worked at a funeral home, and you know, there was nobody that was in that funeral home was dead who could hear me talk or could hear anything. You know, why? They were dead. Say. And folks, the coming of the Lord's going to come with a come up hither. Jesus could say, come up hither. It's going to come with a shout, with a voice of the archangel. And you know what? If you're not saved, your spirits are dead. You're not going to hear a thing. Dead people don't hear things. You know, dead people don't. They got to become, they have to be alive to hear things. And so you need tonight, if you've never been saved, to wake up in the light of the nearest of coming of the Lord. You need to receive Jesus Christ, your Savior. Say, now, to wake up spiritually, you need to know how you don't get saved. You don't get saved by being baptized. You don't get saved by living a good life. You don't get saved by turning over a new leaf. You don't get saved by believing in God. That's not how you get saved. You need to wake up the fact that that doesn't save you. Say, what saves is coming to Christ and receiving Him. It's Jesus Christ that saves. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not a work. It's a gift. It's a gift you receive. You know, you don't work to get saved. See, folks, you need to wake up, realize it's not a work, it's a gift. It's something you receive. Gifts are all paid for. You like gifts? I like gifts. You know, why? Because they're all paid for. And salvation is a gift. You just receive it. You just say, okay, I want it. And you ask for it. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives it to you as a gift. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in the other, for there's another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the first kind of person that needs to wake up in the light of the nearest to come of the Lord is a person who has never received Christ as Savior because they're spiritually dead. They need to wake out of the sleep of death and spiritual death and become alive under God to be able to hear that shout, come up hither and be with the Lord. But you know, this passage of scripture is primarily talking to those who are not saved. This passage of scripture in Romans chapter 13 is primarily talking to those who are alive, who have received Christ as Savior. They're Christians. They are born again. And this passage of scripture is talking to Christians to be awake. to wake up in the light of the nearness of the coming of the Lord. Say, talking to Christians to look and to check up and be careful to be awake and not fall asleep and not be in slumber. Say, that's what he's talking about here. Talking to Christian people. See, you know, many times Christians are sleeping when they should be awake. There are many Christians sleeping. You ought to be awake, you know? I mean, there's some here tonight. You're asleep. You ought to be awake spiritually. Why? The nearness of the coming of the Lord, say. Now, Peter fell asleep spiritually. You know, he fell asleep. You know, Peter was that guy that stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Man, he was really awake there, wasn't he? I mean, he was awake. I tell you, he said, hey, this is not a prophet. This is not somebody like that. This is the Son of God. He was awake spiritually. He was bold. He was courageous. He stood up and he was awake spiritually. But you know, Peter fell asleep. Here in Matthew 26:45, you read about how he's in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. He's there, and Jesus is going to go to the cross. And if there ever was a time when Jesus needed some help and some encouragement and some support, it was at that particular time. And those disciples, the inner circle, in fact, Peter, James, John, they were in that Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is sweating, as it were, drops of blood, as he's thinking about going to the cross. And he goes back and he wants to be encouraged by seeing that his disciples are awake and they're praying and they're interceding on his behalf. And you know what? Jesus goes in there and he finds Peter sleeping. Oh, I tell you something, my friend. Don't you think that was a great discouragement, the Son of God? Oh, I wonder how many people here tonight are discouraging Jesus because you're asleep spiritually. When you ought to be awake and when you ought the greatest time of Jesus' need on earth, there Peter was asleep. Folks, I'll tell you something. God's people need to be awake, not spiritually slumbering. You know, have you ever wondered how Peter could ever curse? You know, I mean, here's a guy stood up one day and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How could he ever curse? The Bible said he cursed and swore. You know, how could it be? How could he go back to that old language? He fell asleep. You know, when you fall asleep spiritually, you know, you can start saying things that you used to never say. You know, I mean, some of the old language can stop popping up in your life again. And some of that old temper starts rearing up and exploding, you know. And you know, when you fall asleep spiritually, it's amazing how some of the old flesh begins to roll out of you and selfishness begins to just come out and flow out of your life. Because why? Peter fell asleep spiritually. That's why he cursed. You know, he didn't have any boldness to witness. I mean, here he was standing up on the day of Pentecost and courageously and boldly saying, hey, this is the Son of God. You know? And now, Peter is so lacking in courage. He's become so passive in his walk with God. He doesn't even have the courage to tell two, three ladies that, hey, I'm a follower of his. You know, these are people to witness to. If you're a man, it's probably a lady. You know? Takes a lot of more courage to talk to a man, you know, about getting saved. But this guy, Peter, he fell asleep and he became a wimp. And he didn't have the courage to speak up for Jesus Christ when he had an opportunity to. Oh, many Christians, they are sleeping when they should be awake. Jonah fell asleep. Remember? Jonah, he fell asleep. He was down in that ship. He was running from the will of God. He wasn't wanting to do what God wanted to do. He fell asleep to doing what God wanted to do. He knew God wanted to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. But you know, Jonah, he didn't want to do what God wanted to do. He stopped doing what God wanted to do. And he went and he ran from God. And he got in that ship in Tarshish and he went down in the boat. And he, fell asleep down there. And you know, a great storm came and I'll tell you what, those old people on that boat, they were so scared and all because of a Christian sleeping. You know, there's a lot of problems in our country, and I believe it's because Christians are falling asleep. I believe God's people need awakening. God's people need to wake up spiritually. Our country is probably, it's not going to be what it is, what it has been. It's going downhill so fast it makes your head spin. And unless we have a awakening among God's people, you know, unless there's an awakening, You know, Lot was a Christian who was asleep. And as a result of Lot being not being awake, you know, he could have spared the city of Sodom and Gomorrah if he'd been awake. But he was asleep spiritually. And because of it, the whole city was destroyed. If there had been 10 righteous people, you know, if Lot had been awake spiritually and just reached his family, you know, if he just had been awake to reach his family, it could have made a difference. Jonah fell asleep. You know, they threw him overboard. You remember? He got down there in the ocean and God had to send Jonah to Whale College to wake him up. What's God going to have to do to get you to wake up spiritually? I hope it's not some tragedy. Like going to Whale College, I think that'd be kind of a tragic experience, don't you think? You know? Hey, I hope it didn't take a tragedy. God doesn't want you to have a tragedy to wake you up. God doesn't want that. But you know, sometimes that's what it takes. I mean, sometimes we're so dead on sleeping. I mean, we just want to sack out on God. We just don't want to wake up. And we just refuse to wake up. And God says, okay, you don't leave me any other option. And Jonah, he wakes up because of being in that whale's belly. You know, that great fish's belly. And that great fish vomits up Jonah. And he comes running. And he goes to Nineveh. And he preaches the shortest sermon ever preached. And you know what? The whole city gets saved. Why? Because a man of God who fell asleep wakes up and gets going. Oh, it's time to wake up, Christian. It's time to wake up. The Corinthian church was asleep. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 34, they were asleep to soul winning, awake to righteousness, and sin not, for some not have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this as you're saying. He's saying that, the Corinthian church is responsible for people going to hell because people in that church had fell asleep to witnessing and giving out the gospel. The Thessalonian church had fallen asleep to the coming of the Lord. And Paul said, be not ignorant of my brother. Be not ignorant of the come the Lord. For in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, the Bible says he's going to come back. Be not ignorant. They had fallen asleep. They had fallen asleep. Spiritually speaking. You know, if there is one thing that ought to be true of Christian people today, it ought to be that we're awake spiritually because of the nearness of his coming. You know, there's a legend says the devil and his demons got together and they were talking about how things were going in their particular areas of doing the devil's bidding. And one demon spoke up and he said, you know what? I got a whole caravan of Christians, to be destroyed by some ravenous beasts. And they were destroyed and devoured by these ravenous beasts. And the devil said, oh, you didn't accomplish much. Why, they went to heaven. You know, you didn't accomplish much. And another demon said, well, I got a whole boatload of Christians to drown. And, there's a great storm and a whole boatload of Christians drowned. And the devil said, you didn't accomplish much. Why, they went to heaven. And here's this other demon, you know, and he finally speaks up, you know, and he didn't get the boatload, whole boatload. He didn't get a whole caravan of Christians destroyed. He said to the devil, he said, I've been working on one Christian man to go asleep. And after 10 years of just working on him, he's fallen asleep spiritually. And the devil jumped up and down and said, you really have accomplished something. Because he got a Christian to fall asleep. Do you know something? I'll tell you what. A live Christian, you know, physically alive, who's asleep spiritually, it does more damage to the devil than a dead Christian. Say, are you alive? Are you awake spiritually? It's time to wake up. Take a look at your watch tonight. Are you awake spiritually or have you fallen asleep? It's time to wake up. Secondly, to see whether or not you are awake spiritually, not only need to look at your watch, you need to look at your works. Verse 12. Look at verse number 12 of Romans chapter 13. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. The key word there is the works of darkness. Let us cast off and put on the armor of light. Now, to see whether or not you're awake spiritually tonight, what are you doing for Jesus and now, and what are you not doing for Jesus now? What are you doing for Jesus now, and what are you not doing for Jesus now. You see, there are two kinds of works in the life of a Christian who's awake spiritually. Two kinds of works. There are negative works, there are positive works. If I went out here in this parking lot and I lifted up the hood of a vehicle and I took one of the battery poles, one of the battery cables off that in your car, and I took that cable off, you know what? And you went out at the service and you wanted to get home and you put your keys in the ignition, you turned the key, you know what? Would it start? No. You know why? Because one of those battery cables isn't hooked up. See, you got to have both those battery cables hooked up to get anywhere. You see, the same thing is true. If you're going to be awake spiritually, you got to have the negative and the positive in your life. Say, you got to have negative works, positive works in your life. Look at the negative works. The Bible says, what are those negative works? Casting off the works of darkness. Casting off the works of darkness. What does that mean? It means that a Christian is awake spiritually, is making changes in his life. There are things that he's casting off from his life. There are things that he's not allowing to cling to his life. There are things that he's casting off. She's casting off. In other words, they're making changes in their life. See, folks, if you're not making change in your life, one of two things are true. Either you're probably not saved or you're spiritually asleep. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And that change is not just at the day of salvation. It's continual. Continual changing. You know, so many Christians wait to get to heaven. Getting to heaven is going to be one big gigantic... It's going to be such a change. They did so little changing down here. It's going to take about 1 million years to get adjusted to heaven. Say, why? They did so little changing. You know, I tell you what, I don't know about you, about going to heaven, man, I just like to be a little step, just, you know. I changed my music. Doesn't have to be a big adjustment. I've changed my clothes. I've changed, you know, where I go. The people I hang with, I've changed those things. I made changes. I got stuff out of my life. You know? I made some changes. And you know what? That changing continually goes on. See, if you stop changing, you're a person who is not awake spiritually. If you're not seeing things that need to change your life, you know what? You're probably a person who's fallen asleep to being in the Bible. And at least applying the Bible to your life. Oh, you may read it, but... You know, reading the Bible is great, but I'll tell you something. It will ever take the place of applying what you read. You see, that's when we start making changes, when we not just read the Bible, or that's what causes us to make changes when we come to church and we just don't hear the preacher and let it go in one ear and out the other, and we walk out the same way that we came in, time and time and time and time and time and time again and again and again. God wants you to wake up in 2011 and start making some changes. Say, God wants you to do that. You know, I know of a fellow that, you know, he was a Christian man and he had this computer, you know, and he took his computer out. And he got that computer out, and he got a great big old baseball bat. He took away them, and he took that baseball bat, and he just smashed that computer to pieces. You say, why did he do that? Well, I'll tell you what, that fellow, you know what caused him to do that? Why, he was doing some things on that computer that weren't honoring Christ. He was going to some websites that he had no business going to. And he knew it. And he said, I got to change that in my life. See? That's a person who's awake spiritually. He's making changes, say. For years, he never made changes in his life. But he woke up! He woke up! And you know what caused him to wake up? He almost had his marriage fall apart. He woke up and his wife was about ready to leave him. I mean, folks, can you think of the drama of that? Can you think of how awful that'd be? And he was going through all kinds of turmoil and his wife was going to leave, and he was beginning to feel how lonely he would be. And you know what? It woke him up. And he said, you know, I've been a slave spiritually. I got to make some changes in my life. Do you need to make some change in your life? Do you need to cast off some works of darkness that have slipped into your life in 2010? And maybe they've been there for 10 years. Maybe you've had those things in your life, and it's time to wake up. It's time to cast off the works of darkness in your life. But not only is it time to cast off the works of darkness, it's time to make some positive change in your life. Look at the positive works. The Bible says put on the armor of light there. It says put on the, that's positive. It's put on, say. You know, you never are going to see your life staying away from stuff that you get out of your life that isn't right until you put something in the place of that thing that's not godly. The principle of replacement. You know, you just don't clean up your life, you know, and just say, well, I'm going to live a clean life. You know, you can clean up and get the bad stuff off, but it's not going to be too long the bad stuff's going to come back, because you need to have something in your life that's positive that will keep that stuff from coming back in your life. You need to put something in its place. You need to put on the armor of light, say. Now, notice, if you will, what the Bible says that we need to be putting on that will keep that bad stuff from coming back into our life, the works of darkness coming back in our life. Take your Bible, if you will, to Colossians, the book of Colossians, and the Bible says there in the book of Colossians, it says, put on, verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even if a man, if any man quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity. That's the love of God. Put on the love of God. Put on that agape love, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Put on being thankful. Put on, stop being a griper, and just start being thankful. You know, thankful people are never bitter people. They're never bitter. Put on thankfulness. Put on thankfulness in your life. Get up and thank God that you're alive. Get up and thank God that you can go to work. Get up and thank God that you have a family. Get up and thank God for your church. Get up and thank God. Just get up and don't gripe and get up complaining about the weather and complain about your house and complain about your wife and your kids. Get up and thank God. Put that on your life. I'll tell you what, just don't get the bad stuff off. Put some stuff that's positive in the place of it. Like being thankful. Say, be thankful. Put on, the Bible says, the Word of Christ. I mean, start getting the Bible every day. Hey, you know what? Just start reading the Word of God. Put on reading your Bible. Put on the Word of God. Verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spirits. Put on godly music in your life. Get rid of that trashy worldly music. Get rid of the country western. Get rid of the contemporary Christian. Put on godly music that will edify your soul. You know, when my wife and I first got married, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. Everything we had, we brought the back of a pickup truck, you know, as we went down to Harlow, Iowa, where we started our ministry. Everything we owned, say. And, you know, we were getting $65 a week. And I told a lady in the store the other day, you know, I think we paid about 30 bucks for about four items, you know. And it's amazing how little you get for $30, you know, in groceries. And I said, you know, to Leah, I said, you know, I can remember when we would have 10 bucks for groceries for the week. 10 bucks. And we got more than four items, too. And, you know, I remember when we first started out, and I remember my wife and I said, listen, what's the first thing we're going to buy? What's the first thing we're going to buy, you know? As a husband and wife, what's the first thing? I said, honey, we got to have godly music in our home. We just got to get godly music in our home. And so the first thing we bought was a record player. That was the first thing. Now, let me define what a record player is to some of you folks. I mean, that's the kind of thing we used to listen to music on before the flood. You know, I mean, back in those days, they had record players. And so we bought this record player. And you know what? About a year later, we had enough money saved up to buy our first record. And you know, listen, that music in the home has just been playing ever since. You know, I know one thing. When I stop playing godly music, I've gone to sleep spiritually. When I don't want godly music playing in my house and around me, I know one thing. I've gone to sleep spiritually. Listen, you need to put up. And I know one thing. If I don't get back to putting that on, it's not going to be too long that some works of darkness are going to come. You know, maybe some wrong music. Maybe something wrong on the computer. Maybe something on TV that's going to slip into my life. If I don't put on, see, and put on, so important, not just to have the works of casting off the works of darkness, but also the works of putting on the armor of light, see. And that's the way that we can look at our life and see whether or not we are awake spiritually. Look at your works. Look at your works tonight. What are the works that you're doing for the Lord, and what are the works you're not doing for the Lord? What are you doing? See, the Christian life is not just passive. It's not just sitting. It's not just being a floater. You know, you just float along. You just float along. No, you're doing some things on purpose. And you're doing some things that aren't right on purpose. What are you doing on purpose for God? What are you doing on purpose? Do you have some things that you're purposely doing for the Lord? Say, do you have some things you're purposely not doing for the Lord in your life? Say, hey, that's how you can tell whether you're awake spiritually. You take an inventory tonight. How you doing? How you doing? As we look at your watch, as we look at your works, are you awake spiritually, or do you need an awakening? Do you need to come get on your knees tonight and say, oh God, I see some spiritual slumber slipped in my life. I've gone to sleep, Lord. I've been looking at things. I've been doing things. Lord, I've been griping. I've not been putting on forgiveness. I've gotten some unforgiveness in my heart. I've not been putting on kindness around the house. I've been mean to my wife, mean to my kids, and I've been impatient, and I haven't been merciful. I gotta wake up, because there are some things I'm not putting on that ought to be putting on. Say, take a look. Take a look at your life. The third thing we need to look at, see whether or not we're awake spiritually, not to look at our watch. You know, are we alarmed at how near the coming of the Lord is? Are we absolutely alarmed at it? Boy, it's got to be near. Phew. I better make my days count, because, man, Jesus is coming. I'm not going to be putting off stuff I need to get done. He's coming. Man, I don't want to put off being right with my wife. I don't want to be put off being right with my family. I don't want to put off being right with my Lord. I don't want to put off witnessing to someone I ought to be witnessing to. I don't want to. He's coming soon. Say, I need to make my time count. My life count. My days count. My minutes count. He could be coming any moment. Any second, Jesus could say, come up hither. And folks, we're out of here. There's no coming back. How many people are going to stand at that judgment seat of Christ and say, Lord, boy, if I just would have known you were coming that quick, I would have done something different. How many are going to say, boy, I wish I could just go back and have another shot at life, Lord? You only get one shot at life. Well, they say, we need to be awake spiritually. We need to be awake. Look at your watch, are you? Look at your works, are you? Lastly, look at your walk. Look at your walk. Look at verse 13, if you will, in Romans chapter number 13 in your Bible. Notice what the Bible says here. In Romans chapter 13, it says, at verse number 12, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now here we see that there is two kinds of walks that a Christian can have. First of all, there's an improper walk and there's a proper walk. Let's look at the improper walk that a Christian can have in the world in which you live. First of all, the Bible says that the first characteristic of a Christian walking improperly is that they walk riotingly. They walk in riot, not in rioting. The Bible says, We're not to be walking in a riotous way. What does that mean? It simply means reveling in sin. It simply means living in sin. It simply means having a very callous attitude about the sin in their life. It simply means that. Say, a person who's asleep spiritually is asleep to the fact that, you know, God chastens. God chastens a believer when they're living in sin, when they're practicing sin. I mean, listen, if you're practicing sin, you're really a believer. You need to wake up and realize that when you live in sin, you know, God's chastening's going to come on you if you're really saved. See? And so, but a person who's asleep spiritually, you know, the sin in their life, you know, they're just carrying on with it. And they are asleep the fact that chastening comes in the life of the believer who's living in sin. The Bible says another characteristic of a person that's not walking properly, who's asleep spiritually, is they walk in drunkenness, the Bible says there. Drunkenness. This is what partying leads to, by the way. Partying, it leads to drunkenness. You say, well, Brother Gary, I don't go out and get drunk. I may take a sip or two. Do you know, my friend, there is no such thing as social drinking? Do you know we are living in a day and age in which so many churches today are now accepting social drinking? Even some schools have put their stamp of approval upon social drinking. I don't know what Bible they're reading, but that's not what my Bible says. The Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. God didn't say you have to, you know, go out and drink a whole pack of, six pack of Bud Dumber. That's what they ought to really call it. It's not Bud Wiser, it's Bud Dumber. No one ever got wiser drinking Bud Wiser. They only got dumber. Amen? Amen. God says wine is not, the Bible says in Proverbs 21 that wine is a mocker. Strong drink. One drink will mock you. I'll never forget, there was a fellow that told me a number of years ago, he was a preacher. He was in World War II, and he said that he and another friend of his, they were saved, and they didn't drink, and they took a stand against drinking, and they didn't even touch the stuff. But there were guys in their squadron that wanted to drink, and they wanted them to drink, and they all said, hey, just take a little drink. Just one little sip. It's okay. Just go ahead. You know, it won't hurt you. Just one little sip. You know, and they said, no, we're not going to do that. We can't do that. The Bible, you know, tells us that we're to stay away from that. And, you know, one day they were just constantly badgering about taking one drink. And, you know, one day this one fellow fell asleep spiritually. He fell asleep spiritually. And you know what? He said, okay, I'll take one drink. You know, he took that one drink and they went out on a sortie. They went out to make some kind of a bombing run. And you know that the fellow that took the drink, the Christian took a drink, never came back. That preacher told him the story. He said, I came back. But my friend, he never came back. I don't know what happened to him. You know, one drink could affect your thinking. One drink, you know. You don't know how alcohol is going to affect you. Everybody's body is different. I mean, you don't know what that one drink. What it might do to your children, Dad? They see you take that one drink. You don't know. Oh, I can handle it. How do you know you can handle it? That's a lie of the devil to deceive you and to trick you. Who is the one who's being deceived about drinking? That's that person says, I can go ahead and take a drink. It is okay for me. It's not going to affect me. I can handle it. Listen, we're living a day when there are so many Christians who are falling asleep to the matter of booze. And they're listening to those, unfortunately, who say that their intellects, you know, that they really seem to be spiritual people even. And they're listening to these people, and instead of listening to the Word of God, they're listening to some intellectual preacher as he is explaining away the Scripture. And saying it's okay to have a social drink. After all, Jesus created alcoholic beverage. My friend, Jesus Christ did not create alcoholic beverage. If he did, he's not a deity. Because the Bible says that we're not to even give our neighbor a drink. We're not to even give our neighbor a drink. Listen, God wouldn't conflict what the Bible says in the Old Testament. Jesus wouldn't conflict what is there in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. He wouldn't conflict that at all. It is a slap in the face of the Son of God to say that He created alcoholic beverage at the wedding of Cana Galilee. That's a trick of the devil. And don't fall asleep, Christian, and say, oh, it's okay. I'll take a little booze. I'll take some of these drinks that are kind of, you know, they kind of watered down some. I'll take some of them. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 31, don't look at it. Don't even look at it when it moves itself aright. When it's stirring and it's fermented to a place where it's alcoholic in its contact. Don't even look at it, let alone sip it. Don't even look at it. Oh, my friend, have you fallen asleep spiritually in your walk? And there's some improper walking going on in your life. It is involving booze. Notice something else that characterizes a Christian who's fallen asleep in his walk, and that is it's a walk of chambering. He's walking in chambering. What's that mean? It means shacking up. The world accepts that, but God doesn't. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable, the bed undefiled, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. In 1 Peter 2:11, abstain from flesh and lust that war against the soul. 2 Timothy 2:2, flee youthful lust. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, abstain from fornication. All these verses say one thing, no cohabitation before marriage. Now listen, if you're here tonight, and you know, you've been plugged into the culture of the world, it very well could be that you've been involved in some of this. Shacking up, cohabitation, playing around, fornicating. But I want you to know something. There's a God in heaven who loves you, and there's a God in heaven who is willing to forgive you of that sin. And if you'll come and you'll ask Him to cleanse you, He'll cleanse you tonight. He'll cleanse you of that. But dear friends, God's people need to refrain and stay away from cohabitation. The Bible says that sex is for marriage. It's not for a pre-marriage. That's what the Bible says. All you say, well, Brother Gary, I'm not involved in that. I'm not been involved in this matter of chambering, of shacking up. But some of you are shacking up with ungodly TV programs. Some of you are shacking up with something on your cell phone. Some of you are shacking up with a computer website that is off color, and you need to deal with that which you're shacking up with that is not honoring and glorifying to Jesus Christ. You need to wake up spiritually and get the chambering out of your life. Shacking up with idols. Something that you're putting out of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's a home. Maybe it's sports. We got a lot of idols in God's people's lives. They're shacking up with these things. They have an affection for that idol more than they do for the house of God and the word of God and the things of God. God says you're asleep spiritually. When you are more interested and more affectionate about some idol in your life than you are the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you, who loved you so much, He went to that cross and He bled and died. Listen, the total affection of our life ought to be above and prior, in a place of priority, and that is our affection for our Savior. Nothing ought to ever come ahead of Him. Seek you first the kingdom. It'll be easier to seek first the kingdom of God when you think of what your Savior did for you. Are you one who's awake spiritually? Take a look at your walk. You got some improper things in there? Bible says there, they are people that walk in wantonness. Did you see that? Wantonness. Now this is not Chinese food, amen? It's not talking about wonton soup, you know, or anything like that. This is not Chinese food. This is a Christian who is living in uncontrolled pleasures. The pleasures are controlling him, and there's no control over pleasures. And what happens is that he has no time for spiritual disciplines because his personal pleasures are more important to him than spiritual disciplines in his life. That's a Christian who's asleep spiritually. He has no time for being in church regularly, no time to read his Bible, no time for family altar, no time for the things of God, no time for that, no time for going soul winning. Oh, he's got time for his pleasures that he likes to do, hunting, fishing. Oh, he's got time for those pleasures, TV watching, but no time for that which is a Bible discipline. That will build himself spiritually. That will edify him to be the father, to be the mother, to be the son or the daughter that they ought to be for God. Oh, are these characteristics in your life? The last one is the walk of strife and envy. You know, we like to hear preaching against booze. Amen. You know, we like to hear preaching against immorality. We like to hear preaching against drugs. But when we get down to these nasty sins of the Spirit, all of a sudden, boy, we don't want to hear preaching on those nasty sins of the Spirit like unforgiveness and envy and jealousy and pride. We don't like to hear those sins preached against. All those sins of having a spirit that is disobedient towards our parents. Having a spirit of selfishness and unforgiveness. Like fighting with your brothers and arguing with your brothers and sisters. And fighting with your parents and arguing with your wife. And like fighting with your husband. Or fighting with other church members. Or, you know, fighting and gossiping about your pastor. You know, listen. Oh, I tell you something. Those nasty sins of spirit. Listen, child of God. When there is unforgiveness and hatred and malice towards others in your life, you are not right with God, and you are spiritually asleep. And you need to wake up. You need to wake up. But what are the things that characterize a person who is asleep in his walk? Or excuse me, who is awake in his walk? What are the things that characterize it? The Bible says he's walking honestly. He's walking on it. He's honest. He's honest, you know, with God. He's honest about sin in his life. He is honestly walking in honesty. And the Bible says he is walking in the day. He's walking honestly as in the day. What's it mean to walk honestly as in the day? It means to walk in the light. 1 John 1:7. It means to walk in fellowship with the Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And that we might have fellowship with the Lord. We're walking in the light. We're keeping sin out. It means to walk worthy of the Lord. What's it mean to walk worthy of the Lord? It simply means to walk pleasing to the Lord. Listen, if you do not have an overwhelming desire in your life to just please God in everything you do, I mean everything you do, you're heading for trouble. You're heading for trouble, Christian. When you don't have an overwhelming desire to please the Lord in everything you do, you're heading for trouble. Have you an overwhelming desire to please the Lord? Are you more important pleasing your friends? Well, I want to please my friends. I want to please people. I want to please my husband. I want to please my wife. Now, you know what? I think those things are important. Certain one of those things are important. But you know what? If you want to please the Lord first and foremost, I'll tell you what, you'll be pleasing the right kind of people. You'll be pleasing them. You won't have to worry about wrong friends being around you when you want to please the Lord. They won't want to hang around you. They'll just stay away. Listen, that's what it means to walk properly and honestly. It means to walk worthy of the Lord. It means to walk circumspectly. You know, being careful about what you do and the things you read and what you look at on television. Being careful about what you are involved in on the computer. Being careful where you go. Being careful. Being careful, not careless. Not careless. About where you go in your life. What you do, your friends. Not being careless. Being careful, circumspectly. You know? Walking very, very carefully. Not carelessly. Not, I can handle it. I can handle this. I can handle that. No sweat. You know, I don't have to listen to the preacher here. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to be in church regularly. I can miss church. I can handle it. That's not walking carefully. That's not walking circumspectly. To walk honestly is a day. It means to walk circumspectly, carefully. And then it means to walk in the Spirit of God. Yielded to the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible says that Peter was one who fell asleep. But Acts 4 and verse 8 says, Peter was filled with the Spirit. He yielded to the Spirit of God. And he never fell asleep again. When he yielded to the Spirit of God. And he said, Lord, Holy Spirit, fill me, use me. Take over, take control. And he never fell asleep again. Before, he was not yielded to the Spirit of God. He was living the Christian life in the flesh. And you know what? That's when he fell asleep. He was depending upon himself to live the Christian life. You cannot live the Christian life in the power of the flesh. You need the filling of God's Spirit. You need to walk in the Spirit of God in total dependence on Him. And Peter learned to walk in total dependence on the Lord. As a result of that, he was filled with the Spirit of God and he never fell asleep again. Let me ask you tonight, in the light of your watch, in the light of your works, in the light of your walk, as you've looked at these three areas of your life, are you asleep? Does your watch, does your work, does your walk show that you're asleep spiritually? How can you correct it? How can you correct the spiritual slumber that's come into your life? Well, it all goes back to Jesus. He says there, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it all goes back to Jesus. See, that's how you solve this problem of spiritual slumber in your life. It all goes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what needs to take place in your life is that you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, first of all. To solve the problem of spiritual sleep in your life, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. You know what? If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you'll never be awake. You're dead spiritually. I mean, you're dead to changing your life. You're dead to being like God wants you to be. You're dead to casting out the works of darkness. That seems so strange to you. I mean, yeah, just, that's weird. You know, you're dead to putting on the armor of light. Say, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior. And I'll tell you one thing, you'll be dead when he says, come up hither. You won't hear a thing because you don't have that spiritual life because you've never come to Jesus and been saved. Listen, what's the answer? What's the cure? What's the remedy for spiritual slumber? Number one, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. And then number two, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Christ that is alive, who's coming back soon. You need to realize that He is alive. He is the Messiah. He was not just a man. He's come forth from the dead. He's alive at the Father's right hand. And He's soon to come back. And you need to know Jesus Christ anew and afresh as a soon returning Savior. You need to wake up to the nearness of that. He's coming soon. And when you wake up to that nearness and you put Christ back in the place of being alive in your life and soon to return, I'll tell you what, that spiritual slumber is going to go out the window. And you're going to have a spiritual awakening in your life. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, as Jesus. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Christ. And lastly, to solve the problem of spiritual slumber that's gotten in your life, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you need to put Him in control of your walk and your works. Put Him in absolute control. Put Him in the driver's seat. You've shoved Him aside. You pushed Him over, you know. You need to put Him back in the place of control in your life, over your walk and over your works. You know, years ago, there's stories told of Napoleon, the great general, the French general. And one day, Napoleon was marching out to see how his guards were doing in the front lines. They had various guard posts. And so it was at nighttime, and so they couldn't see that Napoleon was coming right away, the guards. And as he was walking up to these guard posts, he would hear one of the guards say, "Halt! Who goes there?" And he would say, "Napoleon." And Napoleon would commend the fella, you know, for being alert and being awake, you know. Then he'd go on to the next guard post, and he'd be walking over to that next guard post, and he'd hear a guard say, "Halt! Who goes there?" And he'd say, "Napoleon." And Napoleon would appear, and he'd commend that soldier for being alert and being awake. And so he'd go to the next guard post. As he's coming towards the next guard post, he's getting closer and closer. He hears no "Halt! Who goes there?" And he comes upon the soldier who's at that guard post, and he is fast asleep. His sword is laying down, his helmet's off, and he is fast asleep. Napoleon, the great general, he didn't wake him up. He just stood there. He had his sword in his hand, his helmet in the other. And he just stood there till morning, waiting for that soldier to wake up. And finally, morning came, and that soldier began to stir. And all of a sudden, his eyes popped open, and there was the great general, the commander-in-chief of the French army. There he was standing. And you know, as that soldier looked at his commander-in-chief, he realized that he had fallen asleep. And he was so ashamed. He was so ashamed. Child of God, Jesus is coming soon. It may be this year. Will he find you awake? Or will he find you asleep? If he finds you asleep, I'll guarantee you one thing. You'll be so ashamed. But oh, I'll tell you something. He finds you awake. It'll be so, so good to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Are you awake spiritually? Beginning of a new year. It's time to take inventory. Are you awake? Or do you need a spiritual awakening in your life? Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. I pray you'll take these great truths of your word tonight, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to apply them to our lives, Lord. And I pray that you will help us to take a good look at our life, to take inventory, see whether or not we are awake spiritually. Lord, maybe there's some areas where we've fallen asleep. Maybe our watch has become a kind of a slumbering. And we're not just living in the light of the nearness of the coming of our Lord. And Father, I pray, maybe there's someone here who has never been saved. And oh Lord, they're not awake spiritually because they're dead in their sins. And they need to become alive by receiving Christ so that when Jesus comes, they'll hear that shout. They won't be left behind to go through the horrible tribulation that's coming on this earth. Save that soul that's here without Christ tonight, Lord. And then, Father, I pray that as Christians, we'll take a look at our works and we'll take a good look at our walk. And Lord, we'll make the changes we need to make. We'll make the changes we need to make. Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Let me ask this question tonight. How many can say, "Preacher, as I've taken the examination tonight, I see that I've never woken up spiritually because I've never been saved. I've never called on the Lord to save me. I've always thought it was through my works. I've always thought it was through my baptism." None of those things can save you. None of those things will give you spiritual life. There's only one way you get spiritual life, and that's to come and receive Christ your Savior. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I wonder how many would say this tonight. "Preacher, I know for sure if I was to die right now, I know I'd go to heaven and not to hell. I know for sure if Christ were to come right now, I'd hear that shout. I'd go to be with Him in heaven. I know that for sure. I can give you a Bible reason why I know it." If you can say that honestly, truthfully, where you see it, would you slip up that hand and say, "Preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. If I was to die right now, I'd go to heaven and not to hell. I know for sure if Christ were to come, I'd hear that shout. I'd go to be with Him." If you can say that, would you lift your hand high and hold it there for just a minute? Just lift up high, hold it there. But don't lie. If you don't know that for sure, please be honest. Please don't lie about it. Please be honest enough about it not to raise your hand if you don't know for sure. All right, thank you so much. You put your hands down. Is there someone here tonight? Say, "Preacher, you know, I couldn't say I know that for sure. But, oh, preacher, I don't want to be dead? Am I sin anymore? I don't want to be dead spiritually. I want to be alive with the God. I want to be able to hear that shout when He comes and go to be with Jesus. I want to know that when I die, I'm going to go home to heaven and not to hell. Dear friend, if that's ever going to be true in your life, you need to be saved. You need to know you're saved. If you don't know you're saved, then it's sure you're not spiritually alive. If you don't know for sure, it's sure that you don't really have spiritual life. God wants you to have spiritual life. We want you to have spiritual life. We love to show you how you can have that spiritual life tonight, right from the Bible. Go home alive. Go home knowing you're going to heaven. Go home knowing if Christ were to come, you'd go to be with Him. You say, preacher, I'd like to know that. I really would. Would you pray for me in the prayer? If that's your desire, would you lift that hand tonight quickly across the building? Say, anybody like that? Say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm spiritually awake. I'd like to be spiritually awake. I don't want to be dead in my sin anymore. I want to wake up, become alive spiritually to God and the things of God. I've been dead to spiritual things. I don't want God. I've not lived for His honor. I've had no desire for that. My friend, you're dead. That's why. You're dead. You need to become alive unto God. If I receive Christ, say, preacher, I'd like to become alive unto the Lord. Here's my hand. Would you lift that hand? You know, like that quickly? All right, here's another question. How many say, preacher, I'm saved. I know the Lord. I know if Christ were to come, I'd be with Him. And I know that if I was to die, I'd be with Him for all eternity. But let me ask you something, Christian. Have you had some spiritual slumber come in your life? Is there a need for spiritual awakening in your walk, in your works, in your watch? Say, preacher, there is. And I need to have a wake up tonight. You say, if that's your desire and that's your need and you recognize it, would you lift that hand for prayer tonight? Anybody like that? Yes, all over the building. God bless you. Amen. All over the building. All over the building. Yes, preacher, I can see that I need an awakening in my watch. I need an awakening in my works or my walk. Here's my hand. All right, let's stand, please. Every head's bowed, your eyes closed. We're going to sing a great song of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart, we invite you to come. Make this platform an altar prayer. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're alive spiritually, then, dear friend, we'd like to show you how you can be alive. We'd like to show you how you can become spiritually awake for the coming of the Lord and to know you're going to heaven, not to hell. So if you don't know that, you slip out and come. Meet the pastor right here in front. Christian, you come as we sing. Number 204, turn your eyes upon Jesus. As we sing, would you come right now together? Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and light more abundant and free. Turn.